now.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, as we get you on a Monday morning on a weekend where, yeah, I had some good college basketball games. We had the XFL debut. We had the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. These are things outside of the NFL. Now that the Super Bowl is wrapped up, now that the NFL season is done and it's going to get put to bed until the combine starts heating up, before the off-season conversation focuses on Tom Brady, and then the draft occurs in Las Vegas when guys will be shuttled in by boat, we have now reached that point of the sports calendar where you have got a wide variety of different things to sort of look at. NBA, you have the Los Angeles Lakers and the Golden State Warriors played on Saturday night, but I think this weekend, and I've been talking about it this morning, this XFL debut reminded us how much football is important in this country. It's funny when you think about where yesterday watching the enthusiasm of the broadcasters into this game and how gambling was embraced in the middle of the broadcast. Now, listen, you don't have to be an old man. You don't even have to be a young guy, really. Everybody remembers when this was a very taboo thing to talk about, even hinting at the possibility that a game's outcome could be important, even if it was a kind of out of hand game, was important to a certain segment of the population, like Brent Musburger used to do, like Al Michaels used to do. And they used to just sort of interwoven those over under totals in the broadcast in a way. Now it is wide open. It's amazing how in the culture that's become, and the XFL embraces it. And it's neat because you've got real. I mean, this is real gambling when it comes to sports. You talk about guys who handicap for a living, who look at all the trends, who look at, handicap a college basketball game, for example, and know the three-point shooting, players that may be hurt, et cetera, the impact of this, the impact of that. But the XFL is such a wide-open crapshoot. Like, it really is. It's like, I don't know anything else beside at the Dallas Renegades except that Bob Stoops is the head coach, right? I have no idea. I have no idea how good the New York Defenders are. That Matt McGloin of Penn State is their quarterback. Aaron Murray is the quarterback of the Tampa Bay Vipers, but I don't know what context that means when it comes to wins and losses. But I think the embracing of that by the XFL is a brand new trend that's going to last.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And glad you could be with us, SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio. Again, on Twitter, if you want to hit us up, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's, or 800-224-2004. Had the question of the morning, which is, did you watch the XFL this weekend, and what did you think? One other big news that came out of this weekend was Bob Knight's return to Indiana as the Hoosiers played Purdue at Assembly Hall. And Bob Knight, who was fired from Indiana in 2000, returned 20 years later to make an appearance. And to the faithful fans who still love him for everything that he did, despite the fact that when he was fired, that if you remember back in 2000, the choking of Neil Reed and then berating another student, that was enough for Miles Brand at the time. The athletic director said, "That's enough. We're done. We got to let you go." The school president, I should say, Miles Brand was not the athletic director. He was the school president. He fired Bobby Knight. And Bobby Knight was bitter about this for a very, very long time. He obviously went to coach Texas Tech, went to Lubbock, et cetera, et cetera. But even in 2016, I mean, you think about this for a second. He gets fired in 2000, and it's not a good parting of ways. Okay. There's like a rally for him. He shows up at the rally, right? He was on thin ice. He was shown on video choking Neil Reed, and he was put on kind of probation, right? And then there was an accusation of him berating and grabbing a student who went up to him and said, like, what's up, Knight? And he got really angry at that student for talking to him like that. And just had, you know, he had a temper. He had a sometimes violent temper. But he was an extremely good basketball coach that was beloved by a lot of his players, if not majority of his players. But Bob Knight gets fired in 2000, and it's not going well. And he knows he's the most powerful person in Indiana. Right. He knows that he's very, very powerful. But in the end, Indiana sticks by this and they let him go. He is so bitter at this and so angry at the university for this that in 2016, the school is honoring the 1976 national championship team, which has been voted on as the greatest college basketball team ever put together. They went unbeaten, won the national title. It's the 40-year anniversary. Now, here's the thing. The night that they honor this, everybody was there who could be there, right? Everybody who could be there was there, right? Players, coaches, managers, team doctors, everybody that could be there was there except for Bobby Knight. And he wasn't there. He didn't skip it because he was coaching somewhere or whatever. He couldn't make it because he didn't want to make it. He was still bitter at that school. He still had problems with that school. He hated them and he wanted to punish them. And here's the thing, even after Miles Brand had passed away and there was a new school president, and that school president, you know, had openly invited Bobby Knight to come back, and the athletic director, Fred Glass, had wrote a letter to Bobby Knight begging him to participate and begging him to come back and begging him to make an appearance, Bobby Knight would refuse. Refuse. But Bobby Knight is 78 years old. All right. And listen, we all know that any one of us can go at any minute, at any time. But when there is an age that you reach where you know that the day is coming sooner than you probably you're probably anticipating. And I don't know if that affected Bobby Knight in a way of saying, look, you know, in a place where he's sitting there meditating on his life, his career, where it's going, you know, what the future holds. I wonder how much of Bobby Knight said, you know what, I can hang on to this, I can go to my grave with this, but I'm going to regret it. Like, I'm going to regret it. And I'm being warmly welcomed back. This was the school. The school had invited him time and time again to come, and he kept saying no. So this wasn't the school acquiescing, finally saying, all right, finally, we'll let this guy. He just kept saying no to this over and over and over again. And Indiana's having a tough year. They lost to Purdue, which I'm sure drove the fans crazy, because the day you're honoring Bobby Knight or having Bobby Knight show up, you probably want to leave with a win. Archie Miller could be problematic when you have that issue. Nevertheless, there's no question. I think Bobby Knight reached a point where he was thinking about his future and said, listen, I'd like to put this to bed. I'm 78. I'm not an angry 52-year-old anymore. I'm 78. I could go tomorrow. I could go for 20 years. Right? I mean, I don't know. But I think I'd like to put this to bed.
Is there anything that you would do to put yourself in a... Or anything someone could have done or something... Where something happened that you would put yourself in a self-imposed exile?
I don't know, man. That's a great question.
I can't think of anything like, you know... Maybe it would just be for like dietary reasons.
Yeah.
I'll stop going to this place. It's not healthy for me.
But again, look, the guy who fired him passed away in 2009.
Right.
Like, the guy who was responsible for the decision to let him go was gone. The school just had to do it because, you know, they had to go to the board and everything. But it was Miles Brand's pushing that caused the Bobby Knight to be fired. So I know he's still bitter at the school because there were people, you know, on the board that made the decision. So in the end, the university fired him, not Miles Brand per se, but the university had to fire him. So I understand his bitterness, but look, if I think it takes a level of anger and a level of bitterness and a level of pettiness when they're honoring the greatest college basketball team that of all time, that's been voted on by anybody who knows the history of the sport, the last undefeated team in college basketball, and you won't go because you're still mad about them firing you 16 years before that. I mean, and I understand what it meant to Knight. Knight wanted to be Joe Paterno of, and I only use Joe Paterno in the sense of longevity, not for any other reason. He wanted to have that long-term, I've been here a really long time, this is the only place I want to coach level. He didn't, you know, he went to Texas Tech and he did good things at Texas Tech, but I don't think he ever wanted to go to Texas Tech. I think he wanted to stay in Indiana until he retired. I think he wanted to be the guy that had been there over the generations. That he was the only coach, you know, many adults would ever know at Indiana because he had been there so long. I think he wanted to be like Mike Krzyzewski at Duke or Jim Boeheim at Syracuse. Just be there forever, ever and ever. And that was taken away from him by his own actions, right? He knew better. He knew better and he was warned and he didn't follow through because he thought he was above anything that they could do. Like he had that mentality that in the end, they're not going to fire me. In the end, I'm not going anywhere. Oh, they'll just yell at me, and I know I can handle that. They'll just tell me to cool it, and I know I can do that. But I'm not going anywhere. I mean, are they really going to fire me? You know how many sponsors, how many important alumni, big-time boosters that I could drum up to support me? Are you kidding? The national championships I brought here, the level of prestige I brought here? I mean, you got to be kidding me. I mean, I am Indiana. I am the most powerful person here. And yet, they said no. They said goodbye. So his level of bitterness was, I mean, really thick. But it was an emotional day to have him come back. And you know what was interesting? All you have to do is look at the students. Look at the students that were in Assembly Hall in Bloomington. Losing their minds for Bobby Knight. And the only thing those students had was probably what their parents told them, probably what their dad told them. Because they didn't grow up with Bobby Knight at the helm.
And you had one or two ways to go. I mean, you had the Bobby Knight, that brilliant college basketball coach, really molded and shaped young individuals. And you had the Bobby Knight that threw a chair on the court.
Yep, sure did. Sure did.
I think he should have done that. Saturday.
That would have been kind of fun. That would have been kind of neat.
I mean, but you're right. He wouldn't get nearly as far. There would be no distance on it at all this time around.
Look, there have been two books that I've read about college basketball coaches that affected me in my outlook on those people in a very unique way. Season on the Brink, which is John Feinstein's recollection of hanging out with the Indiana Hoosiers. And you read in this book when Feinstein got access to all of the Hoosiers. He got access to everything. And you see a Bobby Knight that's just on the edge of being a lunatic. But at the same time, brilliant in the way he got the best out of his players. The fact of the matter is, you can disagree with that level of coaching, that angry tyrant coach, right? The guy that would take dirty toilet paper and this is how I'm describing your play today. The guy that would sometimes get physical with his players. But he did two things that I think are unique with that mindset. One, he made sure his players graduated. He was very big on that. He was very big on that. Now, this was obviously at a different time where the one and done is sort of changed college hoops. But at the time, you usually stayed at a program 3 to 4 years. But he got his kids to graduate. He was very big on academics. He knew that you were there to play basketball, but you were also there with an opportunity to get an education. And his responsibility was to make sure he got the best out of you on the court, but you weren't going to blow this opportunity to get a degree in something. And he knew that, and he forced those kids to get grades. He forced those kids to go to class. He forced those kids to graduate. And I've always thought that was a great aspect of him. And even his darkest critics, even if his critics who really couldn't stand him, always pointed to that and said that about him. But the other book was Peter Golenbach wrote a book called Personal Fouls, and that was about Jim Valvano. And it didn't paint a very good light of Jim Valvano, which I think at the time when that book came out, there were people who read it and went, oh, this guy is nuts too, right? But Valvano changed a lot of opinions on that with one, obviously having cancer and giving that incredible speech at the ESPYs. But also, too, he became like a media darling. And I think that had a lot to do with shaping. So Golenbach's book comes out kind of like in the mid 80s, right after they win the title. And it's not a very flattering book. And it's been challenged. Don't get me wrong. In both books, and Feinstein's one of the best authors around, Golenbach, too. But both of these books were challenged. Both of these books said maybe there's some exaggeration to them. Believe what you want. I'll let you out there believe whatever. If you read the book, believe what you want. But nevertheless, Valvano was able to change some public perception of people who had read that book because he was very media friendly. He seemed like a very likable guy on television. Obviously, then the cancer diagnosis and his speech makes people go, yeah, maybe a lot of this stuff in the book was exaggerated. But a lot of people would read Season on the Brink and go, nah, that's Bobby Knight. Yeah, that's Bobby Knight. It's, you know, take him or leave him, love him or hate him. That's Bobby Knight, you know, and I don't know. To me, when I saw the love and support, he's 78. You know, again, you don't know how much long you have. You could live to be 90. I don't know. Who knows? I mean, I'll tell you, I have my grandmother lived to be like 98 years old. And I'm telling you, my wife and I alternated visiting my parents for Christmas and her parents for Christmas every year. And I'm not kidding. We way back in like 2010, like we would go to New York for Christmas because I would say, you know, this is the last year I'm probably going to see my grandmother. And that lasted 8 years. Like, you never know, right? I mean, you have no idea. So Bobby Knight could live for another 20 years. Who knows? But I think when you get to an age, I don't think you want to die with any regrets. I don't think you want to die with bitterness. And I think he's reached an age where he is looking back and saying, you know what? I really want this for me. I really want to feel the love of that place again. And I want to be remembered as the guy who brought the banners, who brought the attention, who brought the expectations to the program. Indiana's not having a great year this year, but I want people to remember it of the time where I always delivered, you know, tournaments and championships and all of that stuff. And I think he was desiring that at his older age. So, you know, that to me was what was at stake on Saturday. Again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's as we continue along. It's SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
It's O'Reward Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts, and stop in today for store-wide savings. Earn double O'Reward Bonus Points on all sale items like wiper blades, motor oil, tools, accessories, and more. Not an O'Rewards member yet? Sign up today online or in the store. Take advantage of Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. It's fast, easy, and free. But hurry, double points only available for a limited time. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. I got to make a confession. I did not watch the Academy Awards last night.
You know,
I have it on tape, yep. But I don't think I'll even get to it.
I have that as well.
I might skim through it.
The last couple of award shows, I prefer to watch it this way.
Me too. Yeah.
Because then I can fast forward through the parts and the speeches that I don't care about.
Like, yeah,
I don't
right.
need to
exactly.
hear from best costume designer.
Nope, I don't. I don't care.
You know, I don't even care
don't
who
care.
Wins.
Yeah, I guess a Parasite won Best Picture.
Yes.
Yeah, do you see that?
But I haven't seen the movie. I've heard about it. I've heard it's really, really intense.
It's really good. You have to watch. It's subtitles if you don't speak Korean, but it is really good. I was really impressed. I liked it a lot.
So good on the Academy?
Yeah, I think that. Well, I mean, I saw a number of their pictures. I thought it was really good. It was pretty intense, and it was. It was a mixture of drama and comedy. It had moments of scariness, but then it was funny. I mean, it was really good. Well done. Well done movie. So, Joaquin Phoenix won Best Actor. So that was, I guess he gave a really good speech.
Yep.
Remembering his brother.
I'll probably watch it today.
I guess Brad Pitt gave a good speech too.
Yeah, I'll probably watch that today too.
Yeah, I don't know.
Fast forward. I mean, that's what I love about watching. I can watch the entire Oscars, what I want to see. Probably within 30 minutes to an hour.
Remember, this is my thing, though. I was talking about this on Friday with our guest that was talking about the Oscars. I still think the Oscars are kind of important for the movie industry. But do you remember, I don't know, like, do you remember when we were young, like, the Academy Awards was a big deal? Remember, it was Hollywood at its biggest? It was like now it feels like, people want to rip it and they want to criticize it and they want to say this and it's too long and this speech stunk and this is too political and all, you know, all of this stuff. Maybe it was always there and I didn't notice it when I was younger, but I remember the Academy Awards. Like, it was like people would go to people's houses to watch it, and it was a huge deal. It was watched by like a billion people around the world. And I remember, like, growing up in New Hampshire, I'd watch it and I'd be like so kind of envious of these guys. Like, they lived in LA, and afterwards they were going to take their limos and party all night. And I had to go to school, you know, and I was like, what a life. They're going to drink all night. They're going to be up all night celebrating in Hollywood. How great is this? Now it's almost like a joke. It's almost like laughable. And I don't know what it is. I mean, I still think it's kind of important. I still think it's kind of, you know, a good show. But they're never going to get that thing in a time constraint, right? Remember, doesn't everybody complain about this every year?
Yeah.
Ah, it's too long. Man, you know what? As a guy who has to go to bed early, there's just some moments where you go, we're not going to be.
Nothing I can do about it.
Nothing I can do about it. Look, guys, it's once a year. It's just, you know, if it lasts 3 hours, it lasts 3 hours. What are you going to do? Right? It's not like it's a weekly thing where you're like, we're going to do this every week. We got to tighten this thing up. It's once a year. Bam. Get it over with. Just give out all the awards. Have people come up, give a quick speech, and get them off the stage, honor everybody, and then leave. And if it takes 3 hours, it takes 3 hours. It's the way it goes. So, but you know what? I have to switching it back to sports. Remember when the ESPYs came on, first couple years of the ESPYs?
Yes.
I remember thinking at the time, I was like, I kind of think this is cool, but I also think this is not necessary in this business. Like, it wasn't necessary to have athlete of the year because the individual sports do that, right? But then, you know, like, you want an NBA, you want to go basketball player of the year. Well, the NBA has an MVP, right? You want to do football player of the year. They have an MVP too. I didn't think it was necessary, but I give that credit. Yes, it's a promotional outlet for ESPN. Yes, it may be a little over the top. Yes, it's kind of categories that really in the end don't matter. When you win an Academy Award, there is something about that from an actor standpoint, director standpoint, that does separate you from the pack, right? You are an Academy Award winner. No matter what you do, that's what people can say about you now. You can be in crappy movies and people will say Academy Award winner, blah, blah, blah. But the ESPYs don't have that. There's no Grammy Award winner. There's no Tony Award winner. There is, you win an ESPY and nobody remembers who won an ESPY and nobody says he's a former ESPY winner or he's a 5-time ESPY winner. Nobody says that. But when that thing rolls around, it is kind of neat because it does take the entirety of sports and kind of puts us in a reminder on one night of all the things that have been occurring. Up until, and I do like that. I do appreciate it. I don't think the level of winning the award is on the same plane. But I do like being reminded. I do remember when you used to call in and be able to vote for like play of the year.
Yeah.
I liked that because I like being reminded of things I might have forgotten. Like when I go, oh yeah, that hockey goal, that was great.
No, and I give the ESPYs credit for this too. It's grown.
It has grown.
I mean, the first one, I swear, was in like Bob's Banquet Hall.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
You know, I mean, right? Just terrible camera work. Actually, the first one, I don't even know if it was televised. You just kind of read about it the next day.
Yeah.
And then finally now it's a bona fide award show for sports.
Yeah, it's really has grown.
I don't know if we need it in life, but hey, you know what? It's there.
I get it. Yeah, exactly. Look, people in the industry, in whatever industry, like I don't want to, like, I'm not a huge movie person. I'm not going to lie and say I watch all these movies and I go to the movies all the time.
I go to the cinema quite often, Tony.
I don't. But here's the thing. I understand if people tell me that these award shows are kind of a big deal, right? It's okay. Great. Yeah. They've been around for a long time and you want to win an Academy Award and you want to be honored by your peers. Great. Who am I to judge? I don't have to watch it. You know, whatever. We absolutely do not need the ESPYs, but I think it's still kind of cool. I think it's still neat. I know it gets criticized a lot, but you're right. Everybody goes to it. Everybody attends. I mean, it's gotten huge. It's gotten big. And whether or not the awards matter to the people that win them or not is kind of irrelevant. I think it is a celebration of athletes and sports and the sports culture of the U.S. And I think that's fine. All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up next. It's SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right. It is the first day of the work week. It is the good, the bad, and the dumb. And if you had a good weekend, great. If you didn't have a good weekend, here's something to cheer you up. We start with the good.
You know what, the good, I mean, we're going to probably dive off of it a little bit. It might be a tinge of bad.
Right, okay.
But my good for the weekend was Phil Mickelson.
Okay.
I
like where you're going?
You know, he flirted with the chance to win Pebble Beach this past weekend.
He certainly did.
And I was surprised, but not really, because, I mean, Pebble Beach, I mean, that's, of course, suited for his abilities. But it comes with a tinge of bad because he just couldn't hold on to it. And I think this might be what we know of Phil for the next couple of, I don't know how many years, but for the next couple of years.
Yeah, if there is a tournament Phil is built to win, it's this one. He loves the course. He plays well at the course. Not so much on the other ones, on the others around the tour. But yeah, he was a couple shots back of Nick Taylor, the
Nick
winner.
Nick Taylor, yeah. I mean, he at one point was only two shots back. It was kind of fun just seeing him in the lead group, too.
Sure, absolutely. Listen. You know,
something we haven't seen in a while.
This was another thing that happened. I forget what round it was. Was it yesterday or Saturday? I just saw it today where Mickelson had this great up and down from a bunker on 7.
Yeah.
Where he 7 at Pebble Beach is the short hole, very, very short hole, usually hit a wedge, but it's right on the ocean. It is like right on the cliff, and the wind is howling, so it can really wreak havoc for your shot. And the bunker, there's bunkers all over the green. So Mickelson hits a wedge and it goes over the green and it goes into the back bunker behind the green and it gets plugged, right? It's like, so it's kind of like a fried egg lie. And he's up against the lip of the bunker and he doesn't have much of a backswing, but he's got enough and he hits it to within 2 feet. And this is what I found interesting. Nick Faldo goes crazy because he thinks it's one of the best shots he's ever seen. He says, already it's going to be the shot of the year. Now, I play golf. Yeah. I play golf. I'm not a pro, right? So I don't know how hard it was. I'm sure it was difficult. It would have been impossible for me, but all shots are impossible for me. So I don't put that in any sort of context. But I thought to myself, they asked, like, they got Phil Mickelson in mid round, and he said that was one of the top five up and downs of my career. Phil Mickelson has been a professional golfer since 1992. You mean to tell me in all the rounds of golf he's played, a bunker shot from around the green was one of the best he's ever hit? That's just, it didn't look all that daunting for a professional golfer.
No, I mean, it was a great shot.
Really, great shot, but he's a pro.
You and I, that would be the greatest shot ever. I mean, we could easily say that would be the greatest shot we had ever hit.
Yeah, this is the thing, though. This is where golf is so different than other sports. When I watch a professional athlete do its thing, I can be amazed at that, but I don't equate it to what I can do. Right. So yep. I don't watch LeBron James dunk a basketball and go, man, I mean, I do that, but I don't do it like that. We do that with golfers. We think golfers are just better versions of us. They're professional golfers. When you go to your job, they hit shots like that for 8 hours. That's what they do every day, forever. You go to a driving range with your buddies. You spend like an hour hitting balls. They'll spend 10 hours hitting shots. So I don't lose my mind unless a guy hits it like a half moon under a tree over a bunker and lands it within 5 feet. That's when I go crazy. But am I wrong to say Mickelson should get close on shots like that? Yes. This is what he does for a living.
No, I'm not. I'm saying you're not wrong.
I'm not wrong
for thinking that. No.
Okay, good.
Because that's his craft.
That's just what he does.
That'd be you and I coming up, waking up every morning going, oh, man, I'm really impressed that I watched some XFL this weekend.
Yeah, exactly.
That was, you know what, pat on the back, good for me. That was the top five performance of my life, was getting up and watching football this past weekend.
That's right. Or, I want Phil to win because he's
awake
like,
to watch college basketball.
He's going to be 50 this year.
Yeah.
And I want him to win.
That, so do I.
I really want him to win.
Doesn't it feel like he's doing it for us?
I know, right? He's getting older. I remember that tall, lanky left-hander from Arizona State, baby. And now he's 50.
It was a bridesmaid, it seemed like every single
every
tournament.
Year. Didn't win a major until he's like 33. God.
It's one of those things where I look back and go, you know what? Maybe his career would have been different if Tiger was in a different era.
Oh, completely. I completely agree.
But, yeah, I mean, it was good. It had that feel-good moment where you're seeing him and just, you know, knocking down shots, you know, in the all-black that he seems
loved
to be wearing
it.
All the time now because it's slimming.
We'll
never forget him saying that.
Of course not. Why not? You get older,
but then carry a little extra. You couldn't last 18 holes.
Yeah,
that's what it really came down to.
All right, so what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day is the Oscars gift bag.
Oh, please tell us about this.
The Oscars gift bag. Would you care to guess how much the Oscars gift bag is worth?
$20,000.
Oh, Tony.
Oh, God. 25?
So far off.
50?
200.
What?
Yeah.
What are they putting in the bag?
Well, I mean, you know, these actors, they need stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
Because they don't have the means to get said stuff. So there's a couple things. I mean, some of these things actually sound really cool. There's a headband that's worth $350, which detects your brain waves while meditating. So it lets you know where your thought process is. Again, I don't know. I thought that's kind of fun. There is a vacation stay inside. I'm going to butcher this name, but it's inside Faro Completa, which is a gorgeous 19th century lighthouse on the Canary Island of La Palma, a municipality of Spain.
Wow, that must be nice.
So, I mean, you look at this lighthouse. I mean, it's a pretty cool lighthouse, but you get to stay in it. For free.
And this is given to the winners?
It's given to all the nominees.
Oh, so if you get nominated...
It's an Oscar gift bag. It's for everybody.
Oh, for everybody.
Yeah.
So anybody that's nominated for something gets one of these?
That's what my belief is. Or if you present an award, it's just...
Well, that's nice that the guy who wins, like, best editing, who we don't know, is getting all of these cool things that I'm sure the sponsors were really trying to get Brad Pitt to use.
It works well for them, but for us, we want to think about, you know, Brad Pitt getting this bag.
Right. Do you think Brad Pitt goes, I ain't going to use any of this stuff.
Oh,
just give it to the help.
Maybe gives it to his assistant. There's a 12-day scenic eclipse cruise.
How great is this? They're just like, oh, no, I have no time for this.
A $10,000 certificate for a private CODA signature cannabis-infused chocolate tasting.
That's great. Whatever that is, that sounds awesome. Chocolate cannabis tasting. I just heard those three words and went, that's fantastic.
Yeah. A gold-plated vape pen, because you need that.
Oh, hello, yeah.
You need a gold-plated vape pen. PZ Midstream.
What's that?
It's a gift certificate. It's a urine testing kit.
Oh, what?
To match DNA to medication to see if people are receiving the right meds.
Oh, wow, okay. I'm sure that's being gifted to somebody else.
A bulletproof or bullet-resistant doors.
Okay, bullet resist. Okay, yeah, I would say if they don't already have that.
Yeah, 5-night stay in Waikiki. I think they can't afford that.
Yeah, come on.
I mean, that's good for the editor.
It's insane.
I mean, just stuff. I mean, just more and more stuff like that.
There was an episode of The Sopranos where they stole Lauren Bacall's gift basket.
Here you go. How about Hotsy Totsy Haas will provide gift bag holders with a 24-karat gold bath bomb.
How awesome. It's awesome. Makes me want to get into acting just so I can land one of these things.
So, I mean, yeah, I mean, you can look it up. Just type in gift bag. You'll see a bunch of stuff. I mean, it gets all the way down to crazy things like hippie candles from Moody, exploding kittens card game.
You know who should get one of these and do a video on it? Ricky Gervais, since he likes to rip people in the snottiness of Hollywood. He should get it and go through every single one of them and just
now, this
tear
one right
up
here,
the luxury.
A private phone conversation with British life coach Jessica McGregor Johnson. I think that's more for her than anything else.
Oh, of course, right?
You and I could do that. It's like, hey, you know what? We're going to give something away for free.
Yeah. Let me contact the Academy.
Yeah.
And I will offer a 1-hour, I'll watch an NFL game with you just to comment on it.
And break it down for you,
and
Brad
break
Pitt.
It down for you, Brad Pitt.
Because Joaquin, that's Phoenix, what I'll give you. I know you don't watch football, but I'm here for you.
Yep.
And then you know, tell a friend.
That's right. I will watch an NFL game with everybody at the Academy Awards if they just call me and this is the gift certificate I'm putting in the basket.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, you're 100% right about that. That is, I'm sure people are looking like, unless she's famous and I don't know who she is. That there's always the caveat that everyone in Hollywood's like, oh my God,
no,
yeah.
But at the same time,
I've called her for years.
Wouldn't that be what Tony Robbins would have done?
Yes.
Like early on.
That
Tony
sounds
Robbins
very Tony Rob.
Like,
yes, very much
like,
so.
I'll give you, I'll talk to you for an hour about the direction of your life.
Yep.
And then I can say, hey, lifestyle coach to the stars.
That's right. Exactly. Yep.
Take it
exactly.
from me, Joe Public.
That's exactly right. All right. So what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day. You know, it's kind of brilliant, but it was a bad idea. Man burnt $1 million so he didn't have to pay his ex-wife child support.
This is great. It's a great story.
It's a Canadian man who decided, instead of paying his wife any sort of money whatsoever, that he was just going to burn it. And this is a man, I guess he made some decent cash back in the day. I'm not really sure what he did. I think it was in real estate or something like that. But he also ran for mayor of Ottawa, but failed.
Okay.
But yeah, instead of having to pay his money, pay money to his wife for spousal support, child support, all that type of support, he decided just to burn it all. Unfortunately, the judge took a look at it and says, no, you can't do that.
Yeah, that's true. Like if I needed to pay my wife something in a post-divorce situation and I took my paycheck, cashed it, and burnt it, I still got the paycheck.
You still got it.
Right?
Yep.
So that's still on my record. Like, I would still have to pay taxes on it, right? I'd still have to, like, count it as income, even if I burnt it, even if I went right to the bank on payday, withdrew that exact amount from the check, and then lit it on fire in the parking lot. The government isn't going to go, well, he only got paid for 50 weeks instead of 52 weeks because he burnt all of his money. They'd be like, no, it counts. Yep. So I'm assuming that's the case. But the theory is kind of cool. For him.
Well, on September 23rd, he claims he burnt $743,000 and then followed that up with a $296,000 burn on Christmas Day of last year.
Wonderful.
Though he did not video himself burning the cash. He just says he did.
Oh, maybe we take his word for it.
Yeah. But the judge did ask him, how does destroying over $1 million advance your child's best interest?
That is true. He's giving it. It's not like he's giving alimony with some woman's like, she's all set. She's got a job. She's
and
taking
honestly,
money from
him. I mean, I'm not sure. I'm not up on Canadian divorce laws, but he wouldn't have to give her the entire $1 million, right?
Well, that's the other thing, too. He wouldn't have to give, if he had to give it all away, I understand the anger. But even if you keep a third of it and give two thirds away.
Half.
Or half.
I mean, you know, that's always the joke about it. It's like, oh, you have to give your wife half. 500 grand is a lot of cash.
Yeah, I don't care how rich you are. 500 grand is a lot of money.
You could do well, especially in Canada.
Yeah, especially if you want to give it to charity if you don't want it.
I mean, what is in Canada that you have to spend more than 500,000 on?
Jesus.
That's maple syrup and Molson's?
That's right. Hockey tickets?
No, they just give those. Those are birthright. They give you
those.
That's
true. That's
right. In the monthly mailer, the value pack.
Curling stones?
Yeah.
How about that?
A brand new curling. Is that the equivalent of getting a bowling ball for Christmas?
That's true.
Right. Get a curling stone for Christmas?
That's right. Curling. There you go. And a new broom, I guess, maybe?
Yeah.
All right. That's the good, the bad, and the dumb for a Monday on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of SB Nation Radio is presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. At Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's, on Twitter. Did you watch the XFL this weekend? Big Mac, I watched Houston versus New York Saturday. It was good. I was glad to watch it. Certainly better than preseason NFL football. Yeah, it definitely was better than that. I thought it was good. I don't, listen, I'm a critic of this kind of stuff. I don't want to get duped, you know, but I thought it was well done. I did. I really did. And I'll tell you, I remember the opening night of XFL 2001, whatever that was. I remember the Vegas team because I had just, I lived in Vegas and I was kind of like, oh man, it's kind of neat to see the football, you know, I had moved out by then, but it was all big hype, big, I mean, it was a little over the top and kind of lost in all the fanfare was football. And I think this was football. And it was obviously an opening weekend, and it was obviously, you know, a game, that a league that was trying to impress you, and it did so with good broadcast crews. Here's the other thing that I think was great, because there's only eight teams, there's four games, and all four games were on TV around the country. So if you didn't have to watch all four to get a feel for it, it wasn't like, oh, it was on Saturday at 2 when I was out and I didn't get to see it. There was Saturday, there was Saturday night, there was Sunday evening. So look, at some point in your, they're hoping that in your viewing day weekend, you would stumble across it and go, you know what? What is this thing? And I think there was a lot of sampling eyes to the product.
But do we have to throw up the caution tag with it? Just saying, remember how hyped we were about the AAFL? After the first weekend.
It's true. That's the thing. You have to. You have to be careful.
I mean, we're excited. You're excited for that first game, but or opening weekend. It's like, it's football. It's going to be fun. But where are we going to be in week three, week four?
That's the key. I mean, the opening weekend of the XFL 20 years ago was a huge success. Huge success. The numbers were crazy good. Crazy good numbers. But it's not where... Once the curiosity dies down, where are the fans? Are they still with you? Are they still consuming your product? Or have they moved on to other things than their sporting calendar? It's one thing to say, look at these numbers, they're explosive. Yeah, the numbers were good for its opening weekend this year. But I want to see in week 4 or 5 where it's at. But I was impressed after week 1.